turn to the word of the Lord this morning as we continue our series from Passover to Pentecost. And we have looked last week. We have looked last week at many convincing proofs, right? So we looked at how Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, how he appeared to the group of women, to the two on the road to Emmaus, to Peter at some point. We don't know a lot about that one. And then to the 11 and those who were gathered in the room that night on the first resurrection evening. We did not look at how about a week later he appears to Thomas, who is not there in the beginning. We'll look at that at a different time. And so we talked last time about these many convincing proofs. He showed himself the scars on his body, which was a glorified body because he appeared in the room, and yet was a physical body because he ate broiled fish, which is something probably most of us would really like to eat, right? Yummy and healthy as well. And he ate broiled fish to show them, I have a physical body. So that tells us something about our heavenly bodies one day, our glorified bodies one day. And so we looked at these convincing proofs, but I want us to go a little bit further. Today we're going to be looking at he opened. And so as I'm at the beginning of this message, I pray, my prayer is that the risen Savior will open our minds to him and to truth, and will open scripture to us this morning as well. Because these are two things, at the very least, that the resurrected Savior has come to do in our lives. Not just way back then on that first resurrection day, but the resurrected Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit still does that today in our time. The resurrected Savior through the Holy Spirit, even today, opens our minds to things that our minds are closed to, and opens scripture to us, things that we look in the Bible, we don't understand, we find hard to accept, that we have trouble agreeing with. He opens scripture to us, and we need both, don't we? So we're going to look at that this morning, but just before we look at that, I want to talk just a little bit more about convincing proofs. Remember last week I looked at the time, I thought, let's stop right now. This is our theme verse again from Acts 1 verse 3. He also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, so this is many and different, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. But I want us to think about it in this way. When Jesus appeared to the various groups and individuals in that first day and after that, it was supernatural because he was the resurrected Savior, and yet there was a very physical aspect to it, right? Because he appeared in his body, right? And remember, he held out his hands and he said, "Here, look." And it was a physical thing. And then he ate fish. So it was supernatural, but physical. And it was convincing. Nevertheless, wasn't it? Now, it took them a little while to believe, but then they were convinced. They were overjoyed. But I want to talk about another area very briefly of convincing proofs that have nothing to do with the natural, that are supernatural completely and only. And we see it in Scripture, and we see it in this first day. And I bet you have experienced it in your life. You have experienced the supernatural work of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in some way in your life, and it has been something that is convincing to you in your own life, right? We're going to talk about that, then we're going to move on to this he opened this morning. He opened. So look with me, and let's start again with Mary Magdalene. We're not going to look at all of them this morning because we're going to go on to the he opened. But look with me at Mary Magdalene. She's in the garden. She's weeping. She's looking for Jesus. Look with me. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Why didn't she recognize him? I've read about six different answers. She was crying too hard. It was still dark. He was so changed from the crucifixion on his body, the marks of the crucifixion, or who knows? Or she just, you know, she just, it was impossible to believe that he could be because he had to have been dead because the crucifixion had been so terrible. All sorts of things. Nevertheless, she sees him and does not recognize him. Number one. Number two, not only that, she has a conversation with him, doesn't she? Look with me. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. He's speaking very tenderly, isn't he? "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. And she has a conversation with him, and she says, "If you've taken him, tell me where you've put him. I will go and get him." This reminds us of the heart of Mary Magdalene. We talked about this last week, didn't we? This heart that was totally devoted to her Lord, which I believe is why Jesus appeared to her first. I believe that. God always responds. God always is drawn to those who are drawn to him. If you will give him time, he will give you time. If you will go after him, he will come to you. These are some of the reasons we're having fasting and prayer every month, to set aside time, to make time for Jesus, and then he makes time for us as well, in a special way, more than the regular way, more than the way that we always think of. And so he's talking with Mary, and then he speaks with her. So to me, it's a little bit mind-blowing that she sees him, doesn't recognize him, that they have a conversation, and she still doesn't recognize his voice. But then what happens next? There's one word that changes everything, isn't there? What happens next is that he calls her name, Mary, Mary. And we might think, well, that's just natural. You know, she heard his voice calling her name, and it was really familiar to her. And so then she knew that it was Jesus. I don't really buy that. I think it had to be more than that. I believe when we look at this, there's a supernatural element there, because she'd already been talking with him, right? She didn't recognize his voice while she was talking earlier. It was not just a one or two word conversation, but then he called her name, Mary. And I believe we see just in this small vignette, if you will, a glimpse of the supernatural convincing proof of Jesus, the resurrected Lord, as he calls her name. And his voice calling her name pierces her grief, pierces her disbelief, pierces her doubt, pierces the darkness, if there's any darkness in the garden in those early morning hours. We don't know. But his voice and her name touch her heart, and she knows it's Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And we sometimes get this big picture of God, and he is a big God, and he does love the whole world. But we must never forget, never get away from the truth that Jesus is a personal Jesus. He's a personal Savior. He came for you. He knows your name. He knows your situation. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows how to help you in your grief and in your struggle and in your troubles. He calls you by your name. By your name. Not somebody else's. Your name. Because he loves you. He died for you. He had you on his mind when he went to the cross, and he calls your name. And we see in this first instance, I believe, a convincing proof. What convinced Mary? There was an empty tomb. She wasn't yet convinced. There was an angel. She wasn't yet convinced. These were things that she could see. And then, Mary. And she's convinced. The supernatural convincing proof of the Lord Jesus Christ calling her name. Now, that's not the only one. Let's look at the others. Let's look at that passage of the two on the road to Emmaus. I really like this part of the resurrection story, because there's so much there that is... there's a lot there. Let's just look at it together. So this is after they've already been walking on the road together, and we're going to come back to this again in just a few minutes as well. So he's been talking with them already on the road. They sit down to eat. He takes the bread and he breaks it, and suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. But look at the verse that comes next. And the verse that comes next tells us, I think, what we need to see this morning as we talk about a convincing proof. Here's the convincing proof. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And we have here a supernatural, a convincing proof. Can you put a finger on your heart burning within you? No. Can you show someone else, "Look, my heart is burning within me. I know it's the Lord. Look, there is this inner conviction. I know it's Jesus." This is something that we cannot explain to others, is it? But it is revealed in our lives, in our experience with the Lord, and it is absolutely and it's totally convincing. Yes? Yes. Have you ever heard the Lord call your name? Now, some of you might say, "Yes, I have heard him call my name." Others of you may say, "No, not in that way." But let me ask it in this way. Have you ever heard from the Lord or had the impression in your heart that God was speaking to you, you personally, you directly, you intimately, you, and not someone else? Yes? All of us, I trust, have had that experience. If you have not yet had that experience, I want to say to you this morning, whether you're here or whether you're joining us online, Jesus does want to reveal himself to you in that way. He's a personal Savior. I think all of us would also say, yes, there have been moments. It may have been during preaching. It may have been during praise and worship. It may have been at some other time when your heart burned within you. Yes? And I'm not talking about heartburn from eating spicy food. Okay? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about your heart burning within you when you know that the resurrected Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is present with you. Yes? Is doing something, is revealing himself to you, is healing in some way, is encouraging in some way. And these are things that are convincing proofs to us. We experience it, we believe it, we know it. Can we explain it? Just go ahead and say no. You can't explain it, right? It's a personal thing. Nevertheless, it is real. It is real, and it's something that Jesus does in your life, and it's something that Jesus does for you, and it is a convincing proof, and it is something that reveals to us and assures us that Jesus is alive and that he is living in our hearts and in our lives. And brothers and sisters, this is something that is often missing when we want to talk with other people about Jesus. This is something that we sometimes discount. We study, we do all that we can, we learn scriptures, and then we share with other people, and we tell them about Jesus, and they just don't respond, right? They're just, the door's closed. What do they need? They need a convincing proof of hearing God call their name and of having their hearts burn within them. You can't argue against that. You can't say, "Well, I'm just making that up. That's just my feelings." No, it is the work of the risen Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to have this. I told the story in the first service of when Mom and Dad were here in the earlier years, and they lived in Gamsek Sanchun in Taipo. And it's one of the little villages right by Taipo Station. And there, the landlord's family and the landlady herself, Chung Tai, an older Chinese lady, they were a sort of a mixture of Buddhist and Taoist. and absolutely close to the gospel. And mom, because her Cantonese is so good, would try to share with Zhong Tai especially. They would talk together when she'd see her around. But just, she was friendly, but just absolutely close to the gospel. And then the time came when mom and dad knew that they would be leaving Hong Kong before long. And mom's heart was so burdened that she would be able to share Jesus with Zhong Tai, because at that time Zhong Tai was elderly and was quite sick at that time with quite a serious illness. And so mom shared all she could, but then began to pray for the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. And one day, short time after that, mom saw Zhong Tai. And as she talked with Zhong Tai described either a dream or a vision that she had had the night before. And she said, "A man in white came into my room and stood by my bed, and the room filled with light. And then I opened my heart, and then my heart was filled with peace." This is what we're talking about this morning. And a short time after that, mom and dad went back to the States. And not long after that, Zhong Tai went to heaven. This is what we must have, dear brothers and sisters. And I urge you and I encourage you, this is something that I'm praying for with the people that I share, that there would be a revelation, that they would hear Jesus call their name, Mary, or whatever their name is, that they would have a burning in their hearts, that they would know there's something here I can't explain, but it would be something that's convincing. We must have this. And I want to encourage you, if you are not yet praying this way, you may have been sharing already. And you know what? You got to share. We have our part. When the Lord opens the door, we've got to be prepared. We need to know Scripture, and we need to share when we can. We need to live our Christian lives. We need to show kindness, and we need to show love. But there must be more than that. There must be the convincing proof of the resurrected Jesus in their hearts and in their lives that cannot be argued against, that cannot be explained away, but will convince their hearts that this is real. That's what we need. And so if you are not yet praying that, for those that you are praying for, start praying for that. Start praying for that. I've mentioned this statistic to you before. Which country in the whole world has the fastest growing church? Which country? Don't say Philippines. Don't say the U.S., because sadly in the U.S. it's going in the other direction. In Europe it's going in the other direction. What country? Per capita. Per capita. What country has the fastest growing church in the world? Iran. Iran, this strongly Muslim nation, absolutely close to the gospel. Do you know why it's the fastest growing church? Because there are Christians around the world who have been praying for them. And what does God do in response to prayer? God moves. God works. That's why we're giving 3 days to fasting and prayer. I want to encourage you in this. God moves in response to prayer. God answers prayer. And people around the world, as they have prayed for the Muslim world, what is God doing in response? He is revealing himself through visions. He is revealing himself through dreams. And Muslims are turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's called their name. Why? Because their hearts have burned within them. This is the convincing proof that people must have, if their hearts are going to turn from darkness to light, from disbelief to belief. And this is what we must have. And so often, I believe, this is the missing element in our sharing as well, and in our prayers. So I just want to encourage you and challenge you. Start, do your part, what you can do. And then you start asking God to do what you cannot do, which is to reveal himself in their hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's go a little bit further then. And as we talk about how he opened, we read, you've already heard me talking about this, in verses 1 and 2, everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles, look at these words, further instructions through the Holy Spirit, because he is now the resurrected Jesus, and the work that he does comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you and I also must have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives for us personally and through our lives as well. It's the only way. It's the only way. This is how the power of God flows through us and touches others. This is how the power of God works in our own lives. So as we look at this, he opened. Let's look very, very quickly at two miracles in Mark. This is before his death and this is before his resurrection, but I want you to see the theme of what Jesus does. The first one is in Mark 7. You know this one. It's a deaf man that is brought to him. He is deaf, and he also has a speech impediment. We don't know what type. They beg, Jesus, please lay your hands on him. And Jesus leads him away from the crowd. And you can read it for yourself in John 7. Do you know what Jesus does first? You know, when we read this, we think, what? Jesus spits on his finger. First of all, he puts his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spits on his fingers and he puts it on the man's tongue. That's before COVID, right? That's before COVID. But Jesus didn't care very much about protocol, did he? And it reminds me, it makes me think, what would we do to receive all that Jesus has for us? What would we do to be healed? I think that man would go through pretty much anything to be able to hear and to be able to speak. And then we read this. Jesus looks up to heaven. He says, Ephphatha, which means what? Be opened. And instantly the man could hear perfectly and his tongue was freed. Look at the next one. Very similar again. This time it's a blind man. And they bring him to Jesus, beg him, please touch him and heal him. So Jesus does touch him. You know how Jesus touches him? He spits in the man's eyes. You say, he does? Yeah. You go read it for yourself. Mark 8. He spits in the man's eyes. But again, what would we be willing to do to receive healing and to receive wholeness? I think that's part of the impression here, isn't it? It's part of the impression. We so often want God to answer our prayers, but we want him to answer it in our way, right? So it's convenient for me. Jesus doesn't do it our way. And Jesus doesn't make it convenient for us. He does it his way. He does it his way. But his way always works. It always works. He places his hands on the man's eyes. This is the one where he prays. He sees men as trees walking. And then what does it say? Look with me again. His eyes were opened. Opened. But we look at this, and this was before the death and the resurrection. So I have a question for us this morning. After his death and resurrection, did Jesus perform any more miracles like this? Any more miracles of healing? Yes or no? No more miracles of healing. No, none. Zero. Zero miracles of healing in this way. After his death and resurrection, did Jesus do any more teaching to large crowds? Yes or no? Zero. None. After his death and resurrection, Jesus focuses 100% on his followers, and not just the general followers, but those who really were committed to the Lord. And he teaches them, and he speaks to them, and he prepares them for the kingdom of God. Some of the things that he could not do before, that he did not do before his death and his resurrection. So let's go back to that passage again. Those two on the road to Emmaus, as we look at what Jesus does. Jesus opens scripture and Jesus opens their minds. And these two sound quite similar, but I think if they were exactly the same, the Bible would have said that. And it doesn't. In the first one, it says he opened scripture. In the second one, he opened their minds. So I find these two a little bit different, but both of them helpful to us this morning, right? Because sometimes we look at scripture and we want to understand, but we don't understand. At other times, be honest, brothers and sisters, you look at something and you don't like it, or you're stubborn, or you're slow to believe, right? We are all that way as well. So God does both. Jesus, the risen Savior, opens scriptures and he opens our minds. Now, let's look at it together. So we've read this several times, so I won't read it again, but you can just look if you want to at the screen as we look at this. They're walking along. They're discussing. Jesus walks near, and And look with me, then he says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And I talked about this with in the earlier service. It kind of doesn't seem fair, right? Because to Mary, he says, Mary. And probably there was some sort of, I think some sort of supernatural. She didn't recognize him, right? There was something. And here, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And just a little bit later, Jesus is going to scold them because they are slow to believe. And if we look at this, we think, well, Jesus, that's not fair. God, your father kept them from recognizing. I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is this. The point is this. There is, I believe, in seeing Jesus, in understanding Jesus, there is a spiritual revelation. There's something that the Holy Spirit has to do in your heart and in my heart. And I think that's why these scriptures are done in this way. I think that's why God the Father kept them from seeing. I think that's why Mary didn't see, because there is a spiritual part that only the Holy Spirit can do. You know, I studied well when I was in high school. I studied well when I went to university and to graduate school. I was the valedictorian. I graduated with highest honors from university, summa cum laude. But you know what? And I'm not saying that to, I don't mean it that way. But what I mean is this. I'm not that smart to have a revelation of Jesus. I'm not that clever that I can come to the Word of God and prepare messages each week that will speak to our hearts and that will transform our lives as we open ourselves to the Word of the Lord. I'm not that smart, and I'm not that clever, and I'm not that educated. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And one of my constant prayers, in addition to praying for you as a church and praying for myself as a pastor, one of my constant prayers is, oh God, open your word to me that I might understand and hear and preach the word that you have for your people in the power and in the anointing of your Holy Spirit, or else our time is wasted. Our time is wasted. And I can study all I want to, but until the Holy Spirit does something, until the Holy Spirit gives revelation, nothing happens. Nothing changes. Nothing is done in our lives. And so we see this work of the Lord, of the risen Savior. And so Jesus is talking with them as they walk. And basically Jesus says, what's up? If you want to think about it in modern terms, basically, what's up? And they start telling him all of this stuff. Now, look with me, and this is the part I want us to see. They're explaining everything to him, and Cleopas says, look with me. This is where we have to see that he opens scripture and he opens our minds, okay? Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. By the way, was it a vision of angels? No, it wasn't. This bunch of, I don't even know what to say. It wasn't a vision of angels. It was angels, right? There's a difference between a vision of something and something, right? They had seen angels. Look at these two who are so slow to believe, right? They saw a vision of angels. Ah, stay with me. Okay, look at what happens next. They reported it. Look at verse 24. Some of our group, this tells you how closely they're all connected. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Do you see their hard hearts at this point? Do you see their stubbornness? Do you see why we have to have the resurrected Jesus to open scripture for us and to open our minds? Do you see why? These are followers of Jesus. First of all, they say, oh, they saw a vision of angels. Secondly, after that, some of them go to the tomb. They see what the women had said. We saw this, this, and this. And they still have the nerve to say, but they didn't see him. And they still don't believe. Now, before we come down too hard on these followers of Jesus, how many times are you and I exactly the same as these two? are we not? Our hearts are slow. Our wills are stubborn. We are so slow to believe, and Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is wooing, and Jesus is calling, and we are still just like that. We must have Jesus. And if Jesus scolds them just a little bit, I think he would scold us a little bit as well. Don't you think so? In love, but don't you think he would scold us? Look with me. What does Jesus say? How foolish and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. You see, we'd like to say, well, you see, God didn't let them see it was Jesus, so don't blame them. Yes, blame them. They were slow to believe. There was enough there to convince them, but they were so slow to believe. As we too are slow to believe at times. As we too are hesitant to obey. What does he begin to do though? He doesn't leave us in our unbelief. He doesn't leave us in our stubbornness. But because he is the resurrected Jesus, then what does he do? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he goes to the word. You see, brothers and sisters, we have experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ, but every experience that you and I have with God will always measure up with the Bible. It will always, I don't care if 25 angels show up in your room, if they tell you something other than what is written in the Word of God, reject them. Reject them. Every experience we have will line up with the Word of God. And Jesus goes to the Word and begins to show himself. I asked in the first service, and I didn't get the answers I wanted, but so I'll just go ahead with it anyhow. But I'll ask you anyhow. If I were to ask you what are some of your favorite books of the Bible, first of all, let me take Psalms out of it, because everybody always says Psalms. Okay, so set Psalms aside. In general, Bible, Genesis to Revelation, what are your favorite books? Anybody? Oh, Ephesians, Philippians, I like Colossians, or maybe the book of Acts because it's really exciting. What? So all these other ones. How many of you would say, oh, I am so blessed by the book of Numbers. I just get. Or, oh, now when we get to Ezekiel, all of those, oh, yeah, boy, I just have a glory hallelujah when I read the book of Ezekiel. Or the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Or this or that. Few of us would go to the Old Testament and say, oh, me, I love the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. In fact, this morning before I came to church, I'd gotten up early. I listened all the way from beginning to end as I was in the apartment this morning preparing to come to church. And I was so, so blessed. Even though I've heard it and read it so very many times, I love the book of Hebrews. Jesus doesn't have the New Testament. Jesus is the New Testament, right? At this point, what does Jesus do? Where does he go to reveal himself? What does he use to bring inspiration and understanding to these disciples? Books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, and Psalms as well. Don't discount the Old Testament. If you go to the Word of God and it seems dead and dry to you, do you know what you need? You need the resurrected Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to help you see Jesus in the Word. That's what we need. If in your Bible reading, if in your devotions day after day, you are finding it dull, you're finding it dry, you're finding it hard going, you need the resurrected Jesus. And so do I. And so do I. He brings it to life. He brings it to life. And he opened the scriptures. And remember that? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? That's what we need. That's what we need, isn't it? That is what changes our life. That's what gives us understanding. Amen, amen. That's one of his primary works as a resurrected Savior in our lives, to open scriptures to us. But not only that, I'm going to skip over some verses here, but this is one of the examples. The other thing that he does is he also opens our minds. And brothers and sisters, as much, and very briefly, because it's pretty much time for us to stop this morning, but I want to say this to you again, because we have opening scriptures, but then we have opening our minds, because so often our minds are very, very closed to scripture, aren't they? And we would never say that. We would say, yes, 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 I believe God. Yes, I'm obedient. But how often do we come to the Word of God and either we just don't understand it? I don't understand that. Let me look at this. This is from Paul to Timothy. This is in 2 Timothy. I really appreciate this. Paul says to Timothy, he's giving him some really hard teaching. It's about the life of a Christian and the hardship that Timothy will have to endure. Paul has endured it all, right? What he has ahead of him, he knows is martyrdom, not crucifixion as far as we know. He has martyrdom and then he's going to be in heaven. So for Paul, I've gone through it all. I've already done it. So he's encouraging Timothy because Timothy's going to have to go through some of these things. And he's teaching him. And look what Paul says to Timothy. He says, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. I really like that so much. And I encourage you as you come to the Word, if there are areas that you just don't understand, that are hard for you to understand, think about it and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand. I do that so often as I'm studying. I really do as I'm preparing messages. Even with all of the commentators and things, I'll look at some things. Honestly, you all would be horrified if you could hear me sometimes in my office as I sit and study. I'll just say out loud, God, I don't understand that. Help me to understand that. I really mean it. That's how I pray. And then, brothers and sisters, there are other times when we're just stubborn, right? And we see some things and we just don't like it very much, right? You know, things where Jesus says, bless your enemies. Things where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit has said, forgive those that are not fair to you, that do this and do that. And it's so hard for us, right? Oh. But you know what? If you will talk to the Lord about it, he will help you. He will help you. And that's something that we can do. I was listening to I'm not going to tell that story. Our time is short. I'll finish it. Maybe another time I'll tell that story. Let me go back to that. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds. And brothers and sisters, this is what you and I need also. We need the risen Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit to open our minds. We must have it. We must have it, or else we'll never understand. I'll never be smart enough to understand the Bible on my own. Oh, I can get a theology degree, but for God's Word to transform my life, I must have Him to open scriptures. I must have Him to open my minds. There's a verse in Revelation. You know this very well. In Revelation, it's in Revelation 2 and 3. We're going to close with this morning. In the seven letters to the churches, right? Jesus is speaking to the churches. It's the Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit. He speaks to the churches. And every letter ends with this phrase. Got it? Every single letter says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. That's what it, in your Bibles, some translations will say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But that word hear means hear and understand. That's exactly what it means. So you see, brothers and sisters, Jesus is speaking. The Spirit is speaking to us, but we don't always understand. And we're not always listening, but he is speaking. And if you and I open our hearts, I just want to encourage you. I encourage you for yourself this morning, and I encourage you in relationship to others. We need the resurrected Jesus to open our minds and soften our hearts, right? Yes, Jesus, you're right. I'm sorry. I've been holding on to that. I let it go. I forgive. I forgive. Or just to open scripture and to open our minds. And he will do this. Only He can do this. We cannot do it for ourselves, but our Jesus will. Shall we close in prayer this morning? Amen. And would you just ask the Holy Spirit, the resurrected Jesus, to open your mind and to open scriptures to you. And also to, as you pray for these that the Lord has put in your heart, that He would supernaturally reveal Himself to them. That's what it's going to take, right? Jesus, we come to you, oh, our resurrected Savior, who through the power of the eternal Spirit, you are still working today in this world, in our hearts, in our lives, in this church, in our families, in our workplaces around us. May you reveal yourself. May you open eyes that don't see you. May you open ears that don't want to hear your good news. May you open hearts that have been hard. And may you open our hearts also. We need you. We ask, O Lord. We ask, O Jesus, for your opening in these situations, in these people, in our own lives. Would you do what only you can do, or else we are just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, or else we are just like Mary in the garden before we've heard you call our name, blinded by our own troubles, blinded by our own hardships, and not seeing that the resurrected Jesus is there before us to minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, dear church, online, in person. Have a great week. Commit Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we'll meet you again next Sunday. God bless.